talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Welcome back to another Buckeye Talk, and it's a draft. We love to do drafts. Doug Maurice, Stephen Means, Nathan Baird. What we are drafting is the Buckeyes most likely to make All-American and or All-Big Ten teams next year. And so we were just trying to discuss this. We're not actually going to like score it, but I want us to think of it this way. We kind of all agreed about this. It's like you get the points for the highest level you achieve. And you think of it as like, if you're a consensus first team All-American, you get 4 points. If you make any first team All-American team, you get 3. If you're first team All-Big Ten, you get 2. And if you're second team or lower All-Big Ten, you get 1. And you want to accrue points as the drafter. So we'll go probably 4 rounds, draft 12 Buckeyes here. But guys, before we start, I did want to double check with you. Do you guys know how many Buckeyes made first team All-American teams this past season? Nathan, do you know?
I mean, I don't know the number. I could count it up because I had to do a lot of those posts. I mean,
this is always my favorite part of the pod when Doug asks us, do we know the number or something? And we don't know it, but we go, oh, we're going to count it out right here on the pod for you.
We love, we're very educational. We're like a kindergarten podcast. We count 1.
Like 4?
So your guess is 4. Steven, like, do you want to make 5, a guess? Yeah.
4 was going to be my guess, but just so we don't have the same, I'll say 5.
Okay, so let's say who we think they are. Steven, name a guy you think was first-team All-American last year.
Garrett.
He made it for the Football Writers Association of America and for The Athletic. Not to be a jackhole, but...
Actually, I just remembered one more. I remembered one more for sure, yeah.
I will say that there's somebody on this podcast who made a very strong push for the Football Writers Association. And there's somebody who used to be on this podcast that made a very strong push at The Athletic. And it is not a coincidence that those are the two teams that Garrett Wilson made. So, all right. So Garrett Wilson is 1. Nathan, who else was an All-American? Name somebody.
Chris Olave,
1 team. American Football Coaches Association. This is first team All-American, by the way. First team. Mm-hmm. That's the team that he made. All right, Steven, somebody else.
Garrett again, but this time Haskell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. You tricked me. Yeah. No Haskell Garrett All-American last year. Year before, yes.
Okay, yeah, that's what
not All-American. Nathan, your guess.
Noah, well, are you counting just the consensus All-America 5? Noah Ruggles.
Noah Ruggles, ESPN. Noah Ruggles, first team All-American, ESPN. Steven, your guess.
I think an offensive lineman made 1.
Okay.
Nicholas Petitfrère?
Nicholas Petitfrère made 2 teams. Football Writers and CBS Sports, 2 teams. So there's 1 more guy. Nathan, who is it?
I think Jackson Smith-Njigba snuck 1 in at the end.
It is not. It's Thayer Munford.
Oh, okay.
Thayer Munford, American Football Coach Association. So American Football Coach Association put on Olave and Munford. So those are the 5 guys who were first team All-American last year. No consensus. So if we do have a 4-3-2-1, nobody got 4 points. Those are the 3 guys. The 5 guys who would have gotten 3 points. So let's go to Steven, do you know how many guys were first team all Big Ten last year? How many Ohio State players were first team all Big Ten?
6.
Nathan, how many do you think?
I'll say 7 just so it's a different number.
Okay, it's 5. Nathan, first guess, who was first team all Big Ten for the Buckeyes?
CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud is correct. He made it for both teams. He made it coaches and media. Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud is 1. Steven, you're next.
Olave.
Olave made it for the coaches only.
Yeah.
So Olave is the second guy. Nathan, who else?
Thayer Munford.
Thayer Munford made it for both at guard. Steven, who else?
MPF.
MPF made it for both at tackle. And who else, Nathan?
Haskell Garrett.
Haskell Garrett made it for both. Garrett Wilson, who was a first-team All-American, was not first-team All-Big Ten last year. So he would still get the 3 points for the highest threshold. But that's what we're talking about here. So we're going to draft like 12 Buckeyes. It is not the same thing, Steven, as drafting the best players, which is why I like this little wrinkle. And we can complain about how teams are picked. We can complain about the differences sometimes between the coaches and the media vote in the Big Ten, the difference between a conference vote and a national vote. But when Steven, we all understand those realities, right? So it's different than the 12 best players. It's the 12 guys with the best chance at getting this notoriety.
Yeah, especially, I mean, we can start at quarterback. CJ Stroud, at worst, is the third best player on this team coming into the season, depending on how you Hugh Jackson, Smith, the Jigman, Travion Henderson. But, like, only one quarterback gets first team.
Yes.
So it comes down to, like, does CJ Stroud win the Heisman or not? And it doesn't mean he's not one of the best players in college football.
So I'll be curious to see where CJ goes in this draft, because we all understand that reality. And will CJ Stroud be excellent this year? Almost certainly. But what does that mean? So let's do the draft. We understand the parameters. Nathan, because you're not here right now as we're dropping this podcast, because, again, we're recording ahead so that post the arrival of Baby Baird, you guys still have a little Nathan in your life. Nathan will give you the first pick. Steven, and I, now are we doing snake or not snake?
You got a snake.
Three people.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you got
a snake. Yeah, with three people, definitely snake.
Steven, do you want the second pick or the third pick? Do you want to be the wraparound or no?
I want the second pick.
Okay. So Nathan, we'll kick it off with you. Who do you think has the best chance to be a first-team All-American next year?
I think there's one player on this roster that, barring injury, I think has a 1,000% chance to be first-team All-American, maybe even consensus, and that's Jackson Smith and Jigba.
So I will say that the All-American teams last year, when you look at receiver, there definitely is an opening here. There were five receivers a year ago that made first-team All-American for some major team. Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson were two of them. Jamison Williams was another. David Bell of Purdue made a gazillion, and then he ran like a 4.7 at the combine. But he's a good player. I get it. Congratulations to all the college football writers who think David Bell is the best receiver in America. David Bell made six first-team All-American teams last year. And then the other guy is Jordan Addison from Pitt, who's the only guy that's back. He's a Biletnikoff Award winner. He is back. Steven, do you agree with Jackson Smith and Jigba as the first pick here?
Yeah, there's multiple slots. He's going to get the ball because he's in the slot. Yeah.
I think that's right, too. I think I agree with you, Nathan. Like, this is opportunity both in the offense and out there in the world. How many people make teams? What he did at the end of the year, his perception going into it, Nathan, right? That he already made a name for himself. Yep. For all the voters out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's already got a year of monster numbers. He had a monster game in a big stage. He had a big surge the end of the season. There's already notoriety on him because he's the guy left behind when two guys go off to be first-round picks, and now he's the heir apparent to that. It's just everything lines up for him. So, again, just health is the only thing stopping him from being a preseason, from being an All-American, because he will absolutely be probably unanimous preseason All-American.
Yeah.
First team.
Yeah.
And that alone helps you get it at the end of the year, as long as you play all 15 games or whatever.
Yeah. All right. I think that's the right pick at number one. So Steven, you said you wanted the second pick. You must have known JSN was going to go one. So you have somebody in mind that you want to take second.
Yeah. I'm going to go a little off the reservation here. And use some It's More Spots logic, JT Tuimoloau.
So this is the leap. We've talked about the JT leap a lot. It is defensive end. I'll be curious how he's deployed. Maybe there's a way to squeeze him on in multiple ways, but I don't know for sure if this is where I would have gone, because I do think after JSN, Steven, I don't think there's a 1,000% slam dunk guy at number two, because I think JT you can make a case for, but I think there's a couple other guys you can make a case for.
And you're probably going to take the other two guys that we're going to make a case for. But yeah, I mean, the leap is there. The way we've talked about it, I've already come on a pod and said I think he's going to be the Big Ten defensive lineman of the year. If he has the Bosa leap, Bosa was an All-American in year two. So that's what we're talking about here. And they kind of need him. They kind of need that right now. They need a lot of they need that.
What do you think about this selection at number two, Nathan?
I mean, just from a draft strategy standpoint, if we actually are like accumulating these points, he wouldn't have been the guy I took, just simply because I think there are a couple of guys who are more certain of getting you points for sure. But I had him in the top half of the 12 players that I have listed, so I don't think that it's not a huge reach.
I do want to say, by the way, that this idea came from a rapid fire that we got, and I want to give credit to the texter from the 419. The question was, based on what you saw in spring, how many first or second team all Big Ten players will Ohio State have this year? We're doing a variation of that because we love drafts, but thanks to that texter in the 419 for putting this thought in our head. And you get credit for this episode of Buckeye Talk. Again, if you want to have that opportunity to help shape this podcast, 614-350-3315 is the way to sign up to be a text subscriber. There's a guy that I am tempted to take, but I will go ahead and take the obvious pick here, and I'll take CJ Stroud because I think he is guaranteed to be the first team All Big Ten quarterback. And then it's just a question of, does Bryce Young go nuts and take every quarterback spot? Or does CJ, even if Bryce is great, even if Bryce repeats as the Heisman winner, which I don't think he's going to do, can he squeeze into a spot somewhere? For instance, last year, and I'm not going to pretend how every All-American team does it. Last year, Bryce Young made 7 All-American teams that are listed on what I'm looking at. Kenny Pickett made 2. So there was a team that was like, you know, Bryce Young, he feels like the Heisman winner for a team in the playoff, but Kenny Pickett, man, tiny hands Pickett. I just can't get away from it. Like, Nathan, that idea, right? Like, if Kenny Pickett can squeeze in when Bryce Young's the Heisman winner, I think CJ Stroud, at the very worst, can squeeze in somewhere.
Yeah, no, I had Stroud high on my list, and it was because of, again, that baseline that he's going to get you first team all Big Ten. And he has a chance, I think, to, if the way we, just the way we've been talking about Stroud, if he actually does end this season, is projected to be the number one overall pick, if he like passes up Young as the NFL prospect head to head, that's going to get him onto small America teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that where you would have gone here, Stephen? Like, Stephen, did you have a great internal debate between JT and CJ at all?
Yeah. And just for me, it just came down to more. It's just a wider net for JT to get on there than it is CJ Stroud, even if CJ has a better year from a viewpoint standpoint. So I'm not mad at it. He was definitely, he's third on my list. So,
all right. So I forgot that I had the wraparound. So I'm going to get both guys. I'm going to get the guy that I almost took here to be weird, but I'll take him fourth to be weird because I actually believe in it. And I'm going to take Noah Ruggles because I think he'll he's got a little bit of a reputation as a good kicker. Did I not put him on the list? I think he made a team last year. I forgot to include him.
We said
Ruggles. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yes, so he made one team last year. So if you're bringing back, he's the only returning first team All-American on this team because NPF, Munford, Olave, and Wilson are gone. I almost took him ahead of CJ, but I will say, as little as voters know, kickers, are you serious? There were 3 guys invited to the NFL Combine: Cade York of LSU, Michael Dicker from Texas, and Gabe Bursick of Oklahoma. And none of them made first team All-American last year. The 5 guys who made first team All-American kicker: Harrison Meavis from Missouri, Jake Moody from Michigan, who made 4 teams, Nate Needham from Bowling Green, Noah Ruggles, and Caleb Shudak from Iowa. So that is a lot of Big Ten love for kickers. And also, Nathan, nobody knows what they're talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great pick from just a strategy standpoint here. And Ruggles could have that kind of season very much like he did last year, you know, kick 90-some% of his field goals, never attempt one, even let alone make one from beyond like 43 yards or whatever, very kind of adequate on kickoffs and be a first team All-American on somebody's list just because of the accuracy. So, yeah, it's a good pick.
Can I play devil's advocate? I think it's a great pick. But just to play devil's advocate, because you did say it's weird. They used him a lot last year because they had a young quarterback and they struggled in the red zone. So kicks does he actually have to make to be a first? Because if he's 8 of 9, that's accurate. Right. But you, they 9 kicks. If they've fixed their red zone issues, plus CJ's awesome, I mean, he might not make it simply because they don't need to use their kicker as much when you have a veteran quarterback and a veteran receiver.
And he'll be like 63 of 63 on PATs, but that's not going to be enough. No. You're going to have to do something spectacular. So that actually might be a very good point, that there were some specific things happening with a very talented offense a year ago that gave him opportunities that might not come down the pike this year. So
I was wondering if he was going to come up in our predicting the NFL draft thing for 2023 that we did.
You know, because what? He probably should have.
There's always a kicker who gets picked. Yeah,
there is, but I don't think it's going to be him. And I was going to ask you, Doug, because you've actually been waist deep in kickers here for a while, maybe chin deep in kickers, like researching it, because you're looking at it from the Browns perspective. Like, he doesn't profile to me as a drafted NFL kicker.
So it's one of those things. I know, for instance, like a guy like Cade York has a gigantic leg, and LSU let him kick 50 yarders all the time. He kicked as many 50 yarders as he kicked 40 yarders. I do think in the end, the thing that matters in the NFL is, like, can you make a 46 yard field goal? A 46 yard field goal has to feel automatic. And I do think Ruggles might profile as that kind of guy. Is he going to kick a 55 yarder on the last play of the game to win one for you? Maybe not, but hey, it's the middle of the third quarter. It's a tight game. We've got to make this 44 yarder. We can't be dorking around. He does maybe profile as that. I don't know that he'll get drafted, because again, it's not a ton of kickers that get drafted. It's about the past couple of years have been about an average of two a year, but I'll be at a camp. And then you start bouncing around and you have a good week, and the guy you're competing against has a bad week, and all of a sudden you're an NFL kicker.
Also, for the sake of, I don't know if we've talked about this on this pod, the fact that he just, like, took a gap year and was hanging out in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like, and then they had a kicker here for the spring game. Like, USC's kicker who's in the portal right now had him visiting here. So, like, it's no Ruggles going to be here. Like,
and Jake Seibert kicked a 40-some yard field goal in the spring game.
Yeah.
Which is so something, like, else we? That kind of got glossed over after he was last year's spring game was like a big alarm sound for the way he kicked. And he got it done this year. So,
and he's on scholarship. Like, are we 100% sure that Noah Ruggles is the kicker?
Prediction: Ohio State will not have three kickers on scholarship this fall.
Yeah. No, we better run this. That. We better run this pod before anything gets a little wacky in the kicker room. All right.
Well, it's got to be, if somebody's going in the portal, they're doing it by Sunday. This Sunday, May 1st, that we're recording this before, but which this podcast will run after.
Why is that?
Because you have to go in the portal by May 1st. This was the rule that they established the first year. They changed it to July 1st for the first year, but every subsequent year is May 1st. You have to be in the portal by then to be immediately eligible for the coming season.
Oh, yeah, this is an interesting conversation for people to be having after May 1st. we're in the hemisphere. What do you call it, Nathan, that you love? The alternate reality?
The multiverse.
This is the baby multiverse, where we don't know when it's being recorded and when it's being released, but we just want Nathan in your life. All right, four picks in. More to come next on Buckeye Talk. Drafting the Buckeyes, most likely to be all Americans and all Big Ten players next year. Jackson Smith and Jigba, JT Tumalowau, CJ Stroud, Noah Ruggles. Steven, back to you for pick five.
I just don't want to take the other person, so I'm going to take Paris, just because the best offense in the country is probably going to have at least one offensive lineman be a first-team All-American. I mean, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Thayer Munford did it last year. And if we think that this line is going to be pretty good this year and Ohio State's going to average 45-plus points, then put your left tackle on first-team All-American.
I think that is reasonable because, again, people are not good at picking offensive linemen. And so famous team guy for famous offense is a good way to go. And I think you get the benefit of the doubt. Although, like, also he will deserve it. Right. Yeah. He's not going to be.
I'm not saying,
but
no, it'll be real.
There are some there are some great offensive linemen who just don't get enough attention that it's like, well, you know, I don't know that a Purdue offensive lineman is going to have a harder time. David Bell, you put a bunch of numbers, you can make it. But I think in a place like Ohio State, a great offensive lineman has a better chance of being rewarded. So I understand going Paris in this spot. All right, Nathan, it's sixth pick. Back to you.
I'm pretty excited because the guy that I had number two on my list, and I guess we can debate whether this is smart or not, is still here. So I'm going to take Trevion Henderson. I think he has, you know, I know that his first season, partially because of volume, wasn't getting him a lot of that national attention. I think that could change a little bit this year. I think he's going to have to shoulder a little bit more of this offense. And I think this offense will still be prolific and give him a lot of opportunities for touchdowns. I think he'll still have a lot of opportunities for those sort of viral moments. And it, at the very least, it pushes him up into a potentially higher category just within the Big Ten and maybe securing those first team all Big Ten points.
So I'm also a little surprised that he lasted this long, but I also get it. Let me read you PFF's list of
returning running backs.
10 best returning running backs. Number one, Deuce Vaughn of Kansas State. Number two, Bijan Robinson from Texas. Number three, Blake Corum from Michigan, who was really effective and then had an injury last year. Number four is Travion. Number five is Zach Evans from Ole Miss, who was once upon a time a gigantic running back recruit and wound up transferring and from TCU. Now he's at Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. Devon Achane at Texas A&M, which is a guy I love, like a track guy, super speedy guy. He's going to go from sharing a load with Isaiah Spiller to kind of being the man at Texas A&M. I don't know if that's good or bad for him. We'll get more opportunities. Will he be as efficient? I'm not sure. He's really good. Number seven, Braylon Allen from Wisconsin, who was really good last year. He's the next in line, right? Wisconsin running backs. Again, people having a lean, hey, Wisconsin running backs get attention. So if Braylon Allen's good, he's going to enter the conversation because there's a history there. Jahmyr Gibbs at Alabama. He's a transfer from Georgia Tech. They brought him in. He might be the Jamison. He might be the guy who's the closest thing to the Jamison Williams for Alabama this year as like a big time transfer guy who immediately impacts the offense. Zach Charbonnet from UCLA started his career at Michigan and Tank Bigsby at Auburn. So Stephen, it sounds like you were also looking up that list. Mm-hmm. When I read that list, listen, Bijan Robinson is oozes talent, right? He is the real deal, but there's not really anybody else on that list, Steven, that like scares me of like, oh man, like if that guy goes nuts, Travion's not going to have a shot to be a first team All-American. To me, I think, again, as part of a great offense, what should be a winning team, I would maybe make Bijan and Travion the co-favorites to be first team All-American running backs this year. I don't know, Steven.
That makes all the sense in the world. But I think because of how this offense operates right now, Travion just has to wait a year to get any of the recognition from a national standpoint, because it's going to be the CJ Jackson Smith Najigba show with a little bit of side of Marvin Harrison, Emeka Ibuka, and Julian Fleming. He's just going to have to wait and have his J.K. Dobbins moment next year, I think. And it's not because I don't think he's better than basically everybody on that list, not named Bijan Robinson. It's because those guys are all going to be the focal point of their, their teams.
To me, it's a volume thing, and it's a little bit of what Steven's getting to, but I'm thinking of it from another perspective. Henderson would have more juice nationally right now if he had stayed on the field in some blowout games where he could have just picked up some garbage yards and touchdowns, like the Indiana game jumps out to me. There was another game I can't remember right now, but like he's had multiple games where he came out of the game early, didn't get that many carries in games where he could have padded his stats a little bit. I think if he stays on the field, just naturally, you're going to take everything he did last year. He's going to be a little bit better. And then if he just gets more carries, it isn't that big of a jump from what he did last year to the kind of numbers that solidify being a first team, all Big Ten guy, and maybe get you on one or two All-American teams.
So it comes down to how many competitive games do you think Ohio State plays next year? If you think the defense better.
I don't think that. I think it comes down to how many games he just stays on the field through the first half.
I don't know.
J.K. Dobbins didn't play in a lot of competitive games in 2019, but he took all the carries in the first half of those games.
But he also didn't have a Mike Weber that he had to share it with. And they're going to – like Mayan Williams is going to get his fair share.
No.
I think he will.
No.
I'll be curious how that breakdown goes. I'm not necessarily anticipating like Mayan Williams like taking carries away from
he's the spellback
Travion Henderson, but I do wonder. So Nathan, you're talking about like when Travion came out, that's like he got injured in some of those games, right? Like the Indiana game, Ohio State's offense went nuts, but he was out of the game. You're talking about just staying on the field from a health standpoint. You're not talking about necessarily Ryan Day leaving him in blowouts. Because I don't think that'll happen. Correct,
because I'm talking about just playing through the first half of some of these games. You know what I mean? Like, some of those games, he had like 1-2 carries, I think, or 2-3 carries, and or just a few touches. And if he can just get up to like 8 to 10 touches just in those blowout games, it starts to add up over the course of a year. And we're only talking about 3 or 4 games, but again, now you add 3 or 4 more touchdowns, you add a couple hundred more yards. It just, those things separate you when people are looking at those stats at the end of the year, because let's face it, that's how a lot of these things get voted on.
So I do, I mean, there is that conversation. The stats do matter. He also is going to get attention. I do in general think that the idea of there are just guys that are the focal point of their offense, and that Trevion Henderson is not going to be the focal point of the offense, is why he lasted this long. Steven, when you look at who the guys were, who were All-American, first team All-American running backs a year ago, there were only 3 of them. And one was Kenneth Walker III, who was Michigan State. One was Breece Hall at Iowa State. And they had a couple other guys, but they were a run first team. And then the other guy is actually a guy that we haven't mentioned that, you know, I guess it's our fault. Sean Tucker from Syracuse was the third guy. There were only 3 running backs who were first team All-Americans last year, because it was mostly Hall and Walker. Sean Tucker at Syracuse, he's back this year. Last year at Syracuse, 246 rushes, 1,496 yards and 12 touchdowns. So that's a guy who might have, Steven, like a little more load to carry. Deuce Vaughn at Kansas State might just be the guy. Get more attention, get more yards. So a world where, is Trevion Henderson one of the 2 most talented running backs next year? I think you could probably make that argument. Is he going to make the first team All-American based on opportunity and workload? Maybe not. And that's probably why he's 6th and not 3rd in our draft.
2nd, yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like next year, when it's a brand new starting quarterback and you got a 3rd-year starting running back, what did JK have, like 301 carries in 2019? Yep. It'll probably be just like that for Trevion.
I wanted to – last year we had a conversation in the middle of the season about who was still Ohio State's better Heisman Trophy candidate between Stroud or Henderson. Now, Stroud's clearly their better candidate for 2022, I mean, because he's already done it. Who's the better candidate this year to join Stroud, JSN or Henderson?
Jackson.
As a Heisman candidate?
Yes.
Yeah, Jackson. 2,000-yard Jackson.
2,000-yard Jackson would be yes.
Yeah.
1,800-yard Jackson would still be.
But 1,500-yard Jackson and a 1,500-yard Henderson.
But as Henderson's we've said, Ryan Day wants to run it. Ryan Day does not want to throw it. I mean, Ryan Day does not want the Dwayne Haskins 20, like just chucking it all over the place in a running game you can't rely on. He wants to run it. So Trevion will have his chances, but it's just the passing game is so prolific. Mm-hmm. Even though Trevion, his numbers actually in raw carries and might stack up, the raw yards might stack up, it's not the driving force. Kenneth Walker III was the driving force of the Michigan State offense last year. Trevion Henderson, with a first-time starting quarterback in 2023, might be more of a driving force of the offense. With CJ and JSN, he's not going to be the driving force, probably. But he still might be a first-team All-American. It's great value at 6, Nathan. It's great value at 6. But I think we're trying to figure out, you know, why I took Noah Ruggles ahead of him. So, like, that's the conversation here.
No. I think taking Ruggles ahead of him makes a ton of sense, because there's just so many All-American teams, and he's already made one. Like, I think that was a really smart decision.
I will say this, though. I think what helps Trevion is if it's literally just the Jackson Smith, the Jigba show from a passing standpoint, because Najee Harris won the Doak Walker Award in 2020. And And what helped with that is Jalen Waddle got hurt, so Mac Jones' only receiver was Devontae Smith. So if Marvin Harrison, Julian Fleming, or Emeka Buka are that much of a step below that CJ feels like he can only throw it to one person out there, then that helps Trevion, because it's like, all right, we're either throwing it to Jackson or we're handing it off to Trevion.
Right. Interesting. Okay, so Trevion 6, which means, Nathan, you have another pick at 7.
I'm going to stick with the run game. I'm going to follow up on Steven's philosophy that some offensive linemen will be recognized. I'm going to take DeJuan Jones here. I think simply because he is coming in with a little bit of name recognition, I think he has a better chance of being a preseason All-American than Paris does, which always helps you as to maybe getting that award at the end of the year. And I think there's also going to be, you know, things like, you know, Pro Football Focus now has influence. I mean, we use them a lot. We talk about them a lot. I think there are a lot of voters around the country who look at those grades when it comes to the end of the year. And if he can improve, his grades were already pretty strong last year, regardless of what his draft grade was going to be. His PFF grade was pretty strong. I think if he could just replicate that and people see, my God, like 6'8", 360 pounds, and he's getting these kind of PFF grades, that's a first-team All-American. So I think there's a strong chance that he can at least sneak on to one team.
I'm not mad at it.
I like it. I think that makes a lot of sense. The perception matters. And again, in a world where we all think he has a reasonable chance to be a first round pick next year, well, then, you know, he's playing for Ohio State. He's big. I think he's personable. At some point, if Ohio State's really good, like Tom Rinaldi's going to come do a story about their 380 pound tackle who wanted to play college basketball. And DeJuan Jones is going to tear it up in that interview. And then he's going to go out and maul people. And then, like, the people who are like, oh, I got to pick a tackle. Oh, yeah, that Tom Rinaldi guy. He seems pretty good. He's big. First-team All-American. But actually, it will make sense. Again, I don't want to, like, talk down. We're just talking about it's not just if you're good. You have to be some threshold of good, but then you also have to get voted. Again, Sean Wade in 2020 was a first-team All-American. And if we were – before that season saying who has a chance to be it, it's like, hey, he got a lot of attention. He was the slot guy. He's moving to the outside, right? Like, you can see that case. Did he play great? No. Did he make first team All-American? Yes. So there are two things here. I do think there's enough of a DeJuan Jones story to go with the level of talent that makes this pick a good one.
And I think he's going to be one of the more fun guys to watch, I think, this season. A storyline to follow, because it's one thing when guys come in. Okay, Garrett Wilson was like the top ranked receiver in his class, and he came in and left as a first round draft pick. All right, good job, everybody, for doing that. Right. But when DeJuan Jones can come in as a guy who wasn't really even that much of a prospect until very late, and makes this kind of climb, if he can finish it off, if he can make yet another step, I just think that's going to be a fun story to watch unfold.
All right, DeJuan Jones goes 7. There's a guy that I want, and I'm curious if Steven Means is going to take him here at 8.
Am I the only person who's taken a defensive player so far?
Yes.
That is correct.
Man, that's saying something. I'm going to take another one because all the offensive players I thought Nick would get it are gone because I don't want to take Donovan this high. Denzel Burke made – third team coaches of all Big Ten last year after starting literally every single game. He's not on PFF's top returning corners because he's coming into a second year and there's actually some pretty good cornerbacks. But in the idea of pairing the Ohio State's got an awesome defensive end who's in year two. Denzel Burke might take that leap in year two as well. So I'll pick him here.
That's the guy that I wanted. To me, this might be the end of the really strong All-American candidates, first-team All-American candidates.
And if this was like a lottery, like Travion Henderson was pick, and DeJuan Jones were like the 13th and 14th pick, and now we're in like 15, 16, 17,
for sure. Yeah.
I have one other guy that I think is – merits conversation. We'll see if I get a chance to pick him or if somebody else grabs him.
Because I'll tell you, with my picks now, I am starting to think more about all Big Ten than all American because I'm just not sure. So Burke is definitely, I think Burke's a divided line. Burke has, I think, All-American ability, All-American opportunity. He's got to make a little bit of a jump, right? He didn't have a great game against Michigan. But what he did as a true freshman thrown in last year was remarkable. This guy's a really good player. He's got the attitude. The way Denzel Burke handles his business, I mean, who would not project a jump for this guy with this kind of confidence, who's ready to get after it and has a whole year of experience under his belt.
But I think a jump is necessary to get up to all American consideration. Like for some of these other guys we've talked about, maybe with the exception of JTT, but their circumstances were different there. Although Burke's circumstances weren't that different. He was a much lower rated recruit coming in as a true freshman. But I think a lot of the accomplishment that he had last year comes in the context of everything we just said. True freshman, low ranked guy, had to start, had to bring some stability, and did it. And he deserves all those accolades. But the performance does need to take a jump before we start talking about as an All-American kind of player.
So this leads me to potentially some reaches on some picks, and I'm probably going to wind up underrating a couple guys by not picking them. But these are my last two picks, because we're only going 12 guys, and this is pick 9 and 10, and I want these two guys. So the first guy I'll take is Tyleek Williams. He was a freshman, true freshman All-American last year. He will play more snaps this year. I think he potentially profiles as a modern day, big athletic, defensive tackle. We again are talking a jump, but if you're thinking about people who were going to draw the attention of voters, I think he could. And I think being a freshman, true freshman All-American, some people last year, they do a freshman All-American team, and then people like CJ Stroud are on it, and some places do a true freshman All-American team. So the true freshman All-American teams is where Tyleek Williams showed up. I think this is probably a little bit of a reach, but if I'm anticipating a jump, Nathan, I think there's enough sort of like story, opportunity, talent converging here that I could see Tyleek Williams being a first-team All-Big Ten guy.
As we've talked about before, it's a good pick. It's a good flyer for not just first team All Big Ten, but maybe being able to really impress and do something more. As we've discussed, he's someone who not only has to convert what they did to a higher level, but he has to do it against first string offenses more than he did last year too. So it's almost like there's a couple of, I wouldn't say hurdles that he has to jump, but thresholds he has to push through.
Is this too early, Steven, for Tyleek?
No, I get it. I think it's a good reach if you're going to reach for anybody. But yeah, I just think that's one where you got to see it.
Yeah,
against better team. But I get it. I get it. With the way what we saw last year. And then also when we got the defensive lineman, how they talked about him. I get it.
I did not have him in my top 12.
We'll come back with our final three picks on Buckeyes Talk. All right, we're back for our final three picks. And this is an irresponsible pick. I'm going to make an irresponsible pick. There are at least one, two, three guys that just by who they are and what they're going to do in 2022 probably should definitely be picked ahead of this guy. And I apologize to them. I don't think this guy really has a chance to be an All-American. And I actually don't even really think he has a chance to be All Big Ten with the way people vote in All Big Ten. But I'm going to pick him anyway. And if push comes to shove, then we'll just talk on this podcast and write things about like, I can't believe people aren't going to pick this guy All Big Ten so I can get my 2 points. I'm going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
I knew that's it. Yeah.
And in a world where Garrett Wilson wasn't first team All Big Ten last year, it's like, why am I taking Marvin Harrison Jr.? He's going to be behind the guy who's going to have 2,000 receiving yards. Listen, man, if Marv goes Marv, people are going to notice. And he's a little bit different style of receiver. I think there's a chance that he makes like 7 splash plays, right, with just going up over people and making awesome catches. Although, guess what? So did Garrett Wilson. And people were like, that guy is no David Bell. So I get it. The idea, like, how is Marvin Harrison, what is his path to first team All-American? Be better than Jackson Smith and Jigba? Last year, Jackson Smith and Jigba wound up doing it. So I don't really think that's going to happen. I just wanted to take him because I could see a world where legitimately the two best receivers in the Big Ten are Jackson Smith and Jigba and Marvin Harrison Jr. But given the history of how Big Ten people vote, I don't think they would vote for the two Ohio State receivers. And I don't think he's going to be ahead of JSN. So it's probably a bad pick on our point system, Stephen, but I couldn't help myself.
I think because people are stupid in the Big Ten, all Big Ten voting, there is definitely a situation where like the Jackson Smith, the Jigba expectation is so unnecessarily high that if he's not historically great, he gets second team for the in the name of like getting like a Purdue or Penn State guy on there. And because Marvin Harrison Jr. is the new kid on the block, he gets the first team all Big Ten spot. Meanwhile, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, is like a consensus All-American. That 100%. Because think about it. In 2020, Ohio State had the best two receivers in the country, and neither Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave got voted first team all Big Ten by the media.
It's weird. It's weird.
You know, I think voters can be dumb sometimes. Sometimes I have even been a dumb voter. But I think that helps Marvin Harrison Jr. First of all, his name is Marvin Harrison Jr.
True.
That is a huge thing. I mean, that is name recognition is massive in these awards. It just is. And I also think, yes, I understand that Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to get a lot of catches, a lot of yards this coming season. I fully expect that. But Marvin Harrison Jr. could, like, if Marvin Harrison Jr. has, like, 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns, like, that's first team all Big Ten for sure, I think.
I hate that that's not off the table given how this offense works. Like, that was not a crazy stat line.
No, especially the touchdowns.
Yeah. The touchdowns, yeah, I think, is where you're possible. Sure. I think it could actually be something more like maybe it's only like 1,000 yards, but it's like 20 touchdowns. I think he can be a red zone monster. Like his size, his skills.
He can literally have Chris Olave's stat line from this past season.
So you guys don't think this is a crazy pick?
I had him I had him number 10 on my list.
Yeah. Okay. And he went number 10. Oh, I feel better. Okay. Well, let's get down to our last picks then. Stephen, this is your last pick at number 11.
Yeah, I know none of you guys have this guy on your list, and I know it's crazy, but I'm doing it anyway because it's an All-American pick. I'm picking Emeka Ebuka for the all-purpose return specialist spot.
Oh, that is nicely done.
Yeah, that's very smart.
Thank you. Is really good.
Great value, too. Great value because I'm marking it down. He's taking one to the house this year, at least one.
I mean, Nathan, you wrote about that like 9 times last year, right? That, like, he's going to take it to the house. He's going to take it to the house. And then he had the one where he almost did, but that is not a bad bet, Stephen. I think that bet might hit.
I think the one thing that might work against him is I think if things go according to plan for Ohio State, he'll have fewer kick return opportunities than he did last year.
Yeah.
Well, he was one of the people rotating at punt returner before the spring game started.
That's true,
too. And I love Jackson Smith and Jigba, but he's your best receiver. You don't have to have your best. Parker.
Except they have Parker. A history of doing it.
Parker. There are a lot of five stars in that room.
They did it with KJ Hill. One. But that's not what they do. They did it with KJ Hill. They did it with Garrett Wilson. And then they tell him to fair catch it. So, like, we have no history. Well, I tried to make that Garrett Wilson thing happen for a year. We have no history of punt returners really being asked to do anything at Ohio State in the modern era.
Another thing I'll throw out there is if he can actually break through and have an impact as a receiver, that also helps him a little bit. It'll certainly help him from an all Big Ten standpoint. But even last year, as somebody who was voting, did I vote in the AP All-American? I think I did. That all-purpose spot was a popular place to put Jameson Williams last year. Because, yes, he was an awesome receiver, but he was a pretty great returner, too. I mean, he took a couple to the house last year. So that's the other thing to remember here, too. It's like it'll be a big moment when Emeka Egbuka takes one home finally for Ohio State, if he does, because it's been how many presidential administrations have gone by now since someone last did it for Ohio State. But it's there's going to be guys out there who are taking like 2 or 3 home next year.
Yeah. Some small school guy who's ripping off 100 yarders in the Sun Belt, right? Which is not
some Nevada guy or whatever.
Yeah. So, okay.
I think it's a good pick. I think it's a smart upside pick.
Yeah. No, you found that little window. Yeah. It's a real position. It's not like it's a loophole. Yeah. It's like they put return specialists or all purpose guys on every all conference or all Big Ten team or all.
And that can be a lot of random people depending on what list you're looking at. So all he's got to do is make one, man. Great developmental pick late in the round.
And I know sometimes, so like Nathan, when you do the AP All-American, it's just a vote that you send in. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
So I was on the FWAA All-American committee for a couple of years, and that's a conversation. And that's where you start getting into, hey, these guys are all good players. What can we do? And that's how you wind up with things of like, well, let's put this guy here so we can put this guy here, right? Which I think is the right way to do it, because you should try to reward the best players, the most impactful players. And you're not going to put a receiver at guard, but I mean, you try to work things out. And so the idea of like, hey, listen, Emeka Buka, he had 720 receiving yards. He was really good with this, but he's also a return guy. I do think like conversations like that do happen and could help lead to something like this. All right. So there were three guys. That wasn't a guy I was thinking of, because I wasn't thinking of it the way Steven did it. That was a good way to think of it. There's still three guys to me, Nathan, that are like, man, these are pretty good, somewhat established players that I think have a shot here. And I'll be curious to see if you pick one of them, if you go with somebody else.
So I have two picks or just one?
This is the last pick in the draft. Pick number 12.
Well, I guess I'll just stay on my list. If I had two, I had an interesting second pick, I think. I'm going to take the guy who I had actually seventh on my list, which is probably too high, but it's Zach Harrison. And it dates back to the conversation that we had previewing the 2023 NFL draft for Ohio State. And the way that edge rushers are evaluated, the way he has consistently sort of performed at a level that, yes, has not led to a bunch of sacks, but has made him. So from just an all Big Ten standpoint, I like his upside here. I think there's still, if the pop still happens, if there is still something else for him to reach for and get to, and if this defense as a whole improves and he is a productive part of that, I think it maybe can get him some national attention too. The other thing being, just from an all Big Ten standpoint, Aiden Hutchinson's gone, David Ajabo's gone, George Karlaftis is gone, Boye Mafe's gone. Like, somebody's got to be the first team all Big Ten defensive end.
Abakiti's gone. Yep.
So somebody's got to take those spots. Now, if somebody else comes out, gets 8, 10, 12 sacks, if he doesn't, obviously that's going to be those guys. But if he's in, I mean, I don't think he has to have like some kind of, if you get into that 7-8 sack range and the kind of elder statesman he is in the Big Ten, I like his chances to be a first team all Big Ten guy.
And last year, Zach Harrison, second team all Big Ten by the media, third team all Big Ten by the coaches. Tyreek Smith was second team by the coaches, third team by the media. So I do think, Stephen, voters to some level are conditioned to vote for Ohio State pass rushers also, which kind of helps this kind of thing.
Yeah, I like the pick. I really want to see the how this rotation works out, because are Zach and JT just always, are they ever going to be on the field together?
I'm curious about that, too. I had to just do these depth charts. I just kind of reset the depth charts after the spring. Yeah. And I put Harrison and Sawyer on one side, and I put Tua Maloau on the other. But if you go full Jack at that other position, again, God, just no way to say. If you go full Jack at that defensive end spot, and Zach Harrison is not in that conversation, which he really wasn't in the spring game, then, yeah, then he's – maybe either he or JT Tuimoloau is the backup at one defensive end spot, and all those other snaps are going to those jacks. So I'm curious how that's going to work out too. But I also see a situation where maybe that isn't the base package that they work out of, that maybe they go conventional four-man front as the base package, and then the jack is mixed in.
That's going to be an interesting thing to try to ask, because – like, that's the thing. It's like, are JT and Zach just rotating with each other on one side while JJB and Jack rotate with each other on the other side? Then it kind of diminishes the both JT and Zach being on this list, while, you know, rising JT or Zach and Jack being on this list.
That would surprise me if it works out that way, that Zach and JT kind of have to share a spot. I think there are opportunities for what you said, Nathan, where they just have more of a four-man front that's not asking a guy to do jack stuff as part of a package. And I still wonder if Harrison might end up doing some jack stuff in the end. I think he's athletic enough to do that kind of thing.
I won't be shocked if, honestly, if they go rushman package and he's on the interior.
That's either possible too.
Like, he, I think that's his future. He's a really good run stopper.
I mean, I think the history of long edges winding up inside, I think there's a world where Zach Harrison in a Draymond Jones, Adolphus Washington kind of athleticism of an end, physicality of a tackle that's put you inside and let you rush the passer there, but you're also good against the run. I don't know if that's his reality at Ohio State this year. Rushman package, I think, Steven, you're right. Mm-hmm. But that could be his reality down the line. It could be his reality as a pro.
I think they should think about it. I mean, it's not like there's a three tech on this roster that has proven himself to be more consistently better necessarily. And I think you could argue that, like, so a defensive line of Tuimoloau, the Jack, Zach Harrison at three tech, and then whatever your best nose is in the moment, whether that might even be Teron Vincent.
I think that's your best four.
That starts to get interesting to me. But I don't know if – I'm sure that it's not that simple. We think of these things as like, oh, just slide him over and he'll be – it's not that easy. I'm sure there is a lot of technique, a lot of adjustment that goes into it. And do you ask a guy to do that this late in his career? I don't know.
I mean, listen, Adolphus Washington came as an end. And then, like, Joey Bosa kind of was like, I'll take that spot. And it was like, okay, well, let's see what we can do. And Adolphus Washington winds up being a defensive tackle for a national championship team and just turns into a guy, again, maybe not the body you'd think of. He's a third-round pick, man. Mm-hmm. And I think Zach Harrison, I think, is a better football player than Adolphus Washington. Adolphus Washington was the 80th pick in the draft. So it's a hard conversation because I think Zach Harrison, this is what we're talking about with Zach Harrison. I think he could do some Jack stuff. I think he could play tackle. How many guys can do that? But this guy's got quite a package of skills.
Yeah.
And he was second team all Big Ten last year. So again, the continued sort of under evaluation of Zach Harrison, as we try to figure out what this year is going to be like for him, he lasts to 12th in this draft. But now we're all talking ourselves into, do we have to ask Jim Knowles the first time we get him in August, hey, what about moving Zach Harrison to defensive tackle? Because we think he could be an All-American there. And seeing what that conversation is like. I don't know, man. I don't know. He's a really good football player who it just feels like there is still a possible pop still waiting. Mm-hmm. And even if it doesn't happen, he's still a very good football player.
I think where it gets tricky is, If you do believe that he could actually play the Jack, then to put him at three tech bottles him up more than you want someone that athletic being bottled up, maybe.
Except if you think Jack Sawyer is a better Jack than Zach is, and he can equally be an interior guy just as well as he can do the Jack, then, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's about what gets your four best guys out there on third down.
Yeah, that's, what we're trying to get to.
But it's also, it is a difference because we've seen those ends move inside in the Rushman package. Can Zach Harrison play inside on first and second down? Because that's what Draymond Jones and Adolphus Washington did, because they were they were just true tackles. Could he do that?
I mean, I don't know. Tommy Togiai, Haskell Garrett, we've seen those guys run guys down from behind. I'm sure Zach Harrison can do that. You know what I mean? Like, find a guy in the second level and take him down. So I think there's a lot of merit to it. Again, this is one of those times where if Larry Johnson and Jim Knowles were listening to this, they would just be looking at each other and just cracking up because maybe we're completely off base. But I don't know. I think it has merit.
Or they could be like, yeah, we got to stop letting these guys in here. They're getting too many ideas. Maybe. They're giving Notre Dame the entire playbook and it's only April.
Actually, what they would be saying is like, thank God Marcus Freeman or no other football coach in the country listens to this.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely no coaches listen to this. We know that. I
have like four of the guys I could take.
Well, so the other two guys, so Zach Harrison was one. The other two guys that I was thinking about of like, man, these are good football players. I wonder. He also was a little tall. He's 6'6". He might be a little tall for tackle. The guys that I had Josh Proctor and Ronnie Harrison were the two guys along with Harrison that I was like, well, the other Harrison. Ronnie Hickman. That's it, Ronnie Harrison? Ronnie Hickman and Josh Proctor. I thought could have been worthy of getting picked here, right?
When I thought I had two more picks, I think Proctor was going to be the second one after Harrison, because Proctor is a guy that I could see him, if he plays a full season, like Josh Proctor getting like six interceptions this year. I think that's on the table.
Anyone else? There's one other guy that I think would be a reach, and I don't know that it would happen with the voting, but I thought would have been a reasonable pick. Steven, anybody else that you thought was on the table here?
I mean, Donovan Jackson, because
like Donovan Jackson just starts throwing Big Ten defensive tackles around all year.
Yeah.
And people are like, what is that? Who is that guy? I'm voting for him. I think that's
Wyatt Davis did it his first year as a starter. So I'm not gonna.
But that wasn't his second year.
Yeah, yeah. It was year three, but still.
And I mean, and same with Myers. Like, it took until their third actual year to make some of those real strides. But I don't hate it. He was on my list, lower on my list. I would also say, like, something happens where if Jack Sawyer is the Jack and he gets to play a bunch of snaps and gets like 10 sacks this year, right? Like, now you start talking about him. And then the other one I was going to throw out there for it's the lesser Noah Ruggles conversation, but like Jesse Mirko, if you're just trying to steal an all Big Ten point,
they don't punt enough. Right.
But they don't.
The Jack one makes sense just simply because, like, it's not named after him. But his name is Jack. It's the Jack. And if he's out there going crazy with that position, we're going to get to like the Penn State game and he's going to be doing sit downs with College Game Day about this position that's named after him.
Well, but that's not how Jim Knowles talks about it. Right now, it's the Jack. He wants it to be the Leo, which is like when you start lining him up differently than what they're doing in the spring game, start bringing him up the middle and stuff like that. So that's going to be the headline when Jack became Leo.
I'm here for that. Like, you guys know, like, when Joe Theismann was the quarterback at Notre Dame, his name was Joe
Theismann.
And then he changed the pronunciation to Theismann to rhyme with Heisman. Like, if you want to be an All-American, if Jack Sawyer would go to the courthouse before the 2023 season and change his name to Leo Sawyer, it's like, where do I sign up for voting for a defensive guy for Heisman? Leo Sawyer is here. And Jim Knowles would be there as the witness as Jack sort of changes his name. So listen, so the original question from the texter was, how many Ohio State Buckeyes could be first team or second team All Big Ten in 2022? I think our answer is 16. It's because we drafted 12 and then we had four more that we felt good about. So congratulations to Jackson Smith and Jigba, JT Tumalolau, CJ Stroud, Noah Ruggles, Paris Johnson, Trevion Henderson, DeJuan Jones, Denzel Burke, Tyleek Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Egbuka, and Zach Harrison for getting drafted, and Josh Proctor, Ronnie Hickman, Donovan Jackson, and Jack Sawyer are waiting in the wings saying we could do it too. Over under 16 first or second team All Big Ten guys. We appreciate you guys making Buckeye Talk part of your week. Drop the reviews at Apple Podcasts, read cleveland.com/OSU, and try the texts at 614-350-3315. For Stephen Means and Nathan Baird, I'm Doug LaMaurice, and that was Buckeye Talk.